Brother Joel and Michelle. We support them too. I love these. These are real missionaries. They're the real thing. Appreciate them so much. It's great to be here. Looking forward to a great week. I hope you're all in. Is everybody all in?
Yes.
Come on, everybody say amen. All in. Okay, that means you'll be here for every service this week. And I love this church. Love you folk. And it's a great opportunity to be here. I remember years ago when I was in Longview, the first pastor, I brought him up here to survey this town. And so it has some history. And yeah, that means I'm old. Yeah. But it's great. There's a great lighthouse here in Bellingham and needed in the Northwest everywhere. So you can't have enough churches in the Northwest. When we came to Longview, we were the 12th independent Baptist church in the state of Washington. That tells you there's been a lot of pioneering spirit by all the churches here to expand and reach more. And so I'm praying this week we'll be able to reach more. I love your pastor and his wife. And in fact, your pastor's wife's father is my best friend in the ministry. I love Brother Dave Brown, and I love the Carters. They're good folk. And you can't do better having a good pastor. So pray for your pastor. Well, it's been a weird last year, 2020, but we're getting ready to start in 2021. Who knows what's in store? This week, we're praying everything about the voting and the stuff that's been going on. Had a lady had her 4-year-old daughter, and she went to vote and told her, said, that's the way we pick a leader who'll take very good care of our country. And the 4-year-old daughter says, well, I'm voting for God. I think maybe that's what we need to do right now is have God in charge. Take your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 11. Brother Reisner was in Sunday school talking about having a 2-year-old now traveling with him, and that's a new experience. My son and daughter-in-law, when they their first furlough, they were back years ago from Fiji, and that my first grandson Luke was with them, and he was 4 at the time, and they went to this church after being on furlough for several months, and said, Mom, I want to go in the nursery. And my daughter, Renee, said, Luke, you're too old to go in the nursery. He says, well, I really want to go in the nursery. And he was dead serious, you know. And now these missionaries will understand this later. And she says, why do you want to go in the nursery? He says, I've seen that movie so many times. Showing the video every time, you know. So anyway. Okay, let's stand, if you will. Hebrews chapter 11. Start with verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child. And they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, as saying to do, were drowned. Lord, thank you for the word this morning. Thank you for what we've already heard today, and thank you for the great message and song we've heard from the choir and the reasoners, Lord. Now I pray that you'd help us to focus on the preaching. Lord, give me that unction from the Holy Spirit to preach exactly what we need to hear. We want to hear from you, God, not from me. And Lord, if there's someone here that does not know Jesus, I pray that, Lord, the Holy Spirit might prick their heart. And today they'd walk the aisle and come to Jesus, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Many things this past year has happened and has disrupted our lives, hasn't it? It's been a little weird. The things we do, the places we go, normal habits we do, we've just kind of thrown them out the window. It's been weird. Shaking hands. Or do we elbow people? Or we just kind of look at them, see what they're going to do, you know? Some places we used to go commonly and now are off limits, you know? You can't study the expressions of people because you can't see them behind the masks, you know? And even TV game shows, they have to stand far apart from each other. It's kind of weird, isn't it, you know? Everything we got used to has kind of pulled us out of our comfort zone. You know, Moses was a man that God had to remove him out of his comfort zone. He had it pretty easy. Lived in the palace in Egypt. Unlike the rest of his people, the Jews, the Israelites are out there suffering and slaves, but he's living in the palace, eating the best of food, having best accommodations, free of fear from problems and troubles outside, and he has it really pretty good. Then one day, God opens his eyes, and he notices what his people are going through. And God speaks to him about the need of God's people. And it breaks his heart. Changes his life. And yeah, he has to move out of his comfort zone. You know, sometimes disruptions in our old routines are the best thing for us. It helps us to begin to maybe analyze maybe the old present mold we were in. We need to get out of that mold and start noticing some things outside of us. Amen. We may begin to realize that we're not the only people in this world. We may start to realize that of all things, we've gotten too comfortable. And we need to shake off the dust and find out what God wants me to do. Right. You know, we're easy to slide slowly down a hill of apathy. If you could describe anything in America, describing the American mindset, it's apathy. Yeah. Bible talks in 2 Thessalonians 2, there'll be a falling away, and that's apathy. And we don't see it. We don't even notice it until maybe we're shaked out of our comfort zone. And the last 50 years of America, it has slid little by little down to a comfort zone that's just shocking, you know. Very few people go faithfully to church now. Very few think that soul winning and witnessing and missions is, it's not a big deal. And without a doubt, if anything, the stuff that's going on ought to shake us into reality that Jesus is coming back soon. Yeah, you know, let me say this. I love America, but you know it's not in the Bible.
Yeah.
I've heard people try to stretch it and make it fit in there somewhere, but it's not in the Bible.
Yeah.
You say, what does that mean? That means that America's just one of the nations. It's not a major influence. And I could get onto some things like that. But let me say, this isn't my hope.
Amen. Right. Amen.
Like the song the choir sang, my hope's in Christ.
Right. Amen.
But America is like, and among Christians, let me say, let's come back down to reality where rubber meets the road. We've gotten into like a comfort zone drug. And we're just kind of going along and just going along for a ride. But listen to me, there's souls dying and going to hell around the world.
Amen.
And if ever our country's a mission field, it's more so today than it's ever been.
Amen.
So let me say, what is it going to take for God to get you out of your comfort zone? To make your life become an exception to the norm? What is God going to have to do with you and I to shake us up? If you look around, if there's not enough things going on right now to get a hold of you, I don't know what it's going to take. An atom bomb to blow up, maybe that'd be a good thing to blow up Washington, D.C. or something. But what is it going to take? Verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Now, really, we're talking here in this verse about his parents' faith. Because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. Right now, we need faith to protect life.
Amen.
Are you glad you're alive?
Amen.
Are you glad God gave you life?
Yeah.
Well, his parents saw that their child had a special purpose. Do you think each child has a special purpose?
Yeah.
It says, because they saw he was the proper child. What does that mean? Well, they saw a future in their son. They saw there was something God could do with their son. And so they did an amazing thing. They took an ark of bulrushes, hit him over in the side of the river, and that is faith. Now, number one, they didn't want him to get killed, but I mean, a storm could come up or some animal could eat him, but they put him down there by faith, trusting God, because they saw there was hope in that life.
Amen.
This is just to kind of shock us to reality, but you know, America has murdered millions of babies.
That's right.
62 million plus have been murdered since Roe versus Wade.
Wow.
At the early service, I brought these things up. You know, under Hitler, we think of his horrific Holocaust. He killed 6 million Jews. We've multiplied that by 10. Quit worrying about Hitler. Worry about America. Now, I'm not advocating violence to the government. I mean, Moses' parents didn't advocate violence to Egypt. But we do need to let people know. We stand against abortion. We need to speak loudly against. We need to counsel young ladies and women that that's evil. You don't murder children.
Amen.
The government back in the 80s made a law to make graphic images of abortion illegal to be for public use. You need to write your senator, tell them. We need to reverse that law. People need to see the graphic images. They saw the real stuff. They'd say, no way, we don't want this junk. And as I said earlier, no Christian should ever be voting for someone that murders babies.
Amen.
You want the blood on your hands? Go ahead. When I pastor in Longview, most people don't know Calhoun County is the most liberal county in the state of Washington. It's worse than King County. I won't go into the details, but I'd have people upset with me when I'd hit on this issue. Christian people. But understand, it's evil, you know. Your children are important. Every child, every soul is important.
Yeah.
They're not just given existence. Parents, you have kids at home. Man, you have a great responsibility. God has entrusted with you to raise them in the things of God.
Right.
Give them direction to guide them so they can find out what God has in store for them. Just like Moses' parents saw what they saw was important, what God has in store for little Moses. We need to have faith, the sanctity of life. So what does that do with missions? Huh, we're going out to reach souls. Sending people to reach souls around the world. The value of life ought to get hold of us, if nothing else, to start. And we ought to be all in about missions. We also need to have faith which separates us from the world. Verse 24. By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. You know, this area of faith involves separating ourselves from some things. We live in an age which is overindulgent in anything and everything they can get. I mean, it's sick, and we have access to anything and everything. I mean, people gorge themselves on everything this world has to offer. With the internet, with the boob tube, the immorality, the booze, the drugs, people, it's incredible. I can't believe where our country has went today. Yeah. How far they've went, and it's, I mean, think of Oregon. They legalized every kind of drug.
Right.
I mean, let's make murder legal. I mean, that way we have to arrest them, you know.
Right.
I mean, it's just, there's no, it's nuts. But like Moses, we have to choose to refuse some things.
Amen.
Limits on what entertains us. Take a day off from media. I can't do that, I'd die. I mean, just take a day off. No boob tube, no phone, no internet. You say, oh man, I'd be in panic mode. Think it's going to hurt you? Why don't you take away from media and spend it with God?
Yeah, amen.
Eliminate things which corrupt us. David said, I set no wicked thing before mine eyes.
Yes.
That takes a challenge today more than ever David had to face.
Right.
Take more time for things which will grow your faith. We're talking about faith this week and growing your faith. Spend more time in the Word, as Brother Joel talked about.
Yeah.
Spend more time in prayer with the Lord. Spend more time at church.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember Brother Davis and I talking here a couple years ago. We were talking about this, and he goes, these churches keep cutting out services. He says, why can you need less preaching?
Yeah.
I think we need more. I mean, I think back in the 30s, 40s, they used to have revivals go for 5 or 6 weeks.
Right.
Now some of you are gulping and say, preacher, I couldn't be there every night. My kids wouldn't get any sleep. They'll live.
Right.
That was free. That wasn't in my notes. But where is the... The Bible says, come out from among them, be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I'll receive you. So we just got to separate. And it may involve some suffering. Do you think Moses had to suffer here?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when he made that choice, he lost everything he had.
Right.
He made that choice today to protect that Jew. And from then on, the Pharaoh was out to get him and kill him. He had to flee to the desert. And he would have died there if it wasn't for Reuel's daughters. That's right. He didn't know how to live in the desert. Think of it. The guy had been living in a palace. He didn't know how to suffer. He didn't know what, you know, and he's out. I mean, if you've been out in I've been in Jordan and down in that. If you've been out in that desert, that is desert.
Yeah.
Just a bunch of rocks and they can't even find grass. So they're out there, and he was going to die. And then Reuel's daughters came along and basically saved his life. But see, listen to me. Faith believes the things of God are more important than anything this world can offer.
Amen.
If we can get this down, that point down, we can go somewhere this week with this. See, apparently the things Moses enjoyed in the palace had many temptations to sin. He chose this instead of the pleasures of sin for a season, and he had all kinds of opportunities to pleasure that wouldn't have helped him. But he chose the things of God, and it may cost some suffering. You know, God's going to speak to you about some things this week, and you may have to go without some. Gets real quiet. That's part of what faith is. The glamour described in Hollywood and sports stars and all their junk they get. It's so wonderful what they have. Multiple marriages.
Yeah.
Children with suicide. drugs, rehabilitation, I mean, crime, wonderful lives. No, the world doesn't give you anything, but the Lord, hey, we're going to get to that in a minute. Lord bless us. See, this brings riches and reward that you cannot describe when you step out in faith. Hey, Brother Joel, are you disappointed you went to Russia? It's good doing what God wants, isn't it? You never have any regrets. You're doing what God wants. It's so rewarding.
Right.
Have you ever seen more unhappy and discontented people like George Soros, Nancy Pelosi, Rosie O'Donnell? Aren't those happy people? Miserable. Think how, and they have all kinds of money and riches.
Right.
I remember in Mexico, down there up in the mountains in Jalisco, we with Brother Ramos several years ago, and we were ordaining some people out of his ministry in this church, and we're up in the mountains, poverty, man. In fact, I was scared walking around. I was going to step on a scorpion, you know. I remember one of the pastors we were ordaining there, he took us to his house and had a, it was an indoor, it had the roof on the outside of the house, and the indoor was the kitchen, but it was open air, you know. And they brought us this food. It was kind of some kind of soup, and Brother Farinell and I are looking across from each other, and we don't know what it is. And they wouldn't sit down and eat with us. They said, no, you're special. You're the pastors. We'll eat after you. So they're giving us the very best. I don't understand this. And we looked at it, we don't know what it was. Brother Farinell looks, says, well, we prayed over it. I go, well, you're right, let's eat it. So we ate it. And to this day, and we all died that day. No, to this day, I don't know what it was. But they were giving us their best. But let me say, those people were happy in the Lord.
Amen.
They didn't have much, but they had Jesus.
Amen.
And they were doing what God wanted. You don't have to have all the things. You just got to do what the Lord wants. You know?
Yeah, I know.
And so we need to have faith in the invisible king over the visible kingdoms. Verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. See, Moses, why did he leave Egypt? Because he knew God ruled all nations.
Yeah, amen.
Aren't you glad, and especially this last year, aren't you glad you know God's in charge? They said, well, how can we let all this stuff happen? God's bringing it to a climax.
Yeah,
we ought to be excited.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad that God's got, he started the beginning. Now, listen to me. We're able to make choices, but there's a plan that God's working out. When I hear people say, well, except the Lord tarries his coming, that's not in the Bible. It's like, well, God says, I don't know when I'm going to come, but I'll think about it later. No, God knows exactly when he's coming. And he's got a plan he's working out, and I'm excited that God's in charge. Moses saw that. God was in charge. If you fear the outcome of a Biden administration, consider who is sovereign. God can squish him or put him under his thumb or humiliate him. God can do it. God's in charge. Think of it. Egypt was the most powerful nation on earth in that day.
Yep.
What about it today?
Right.
It's a joke.
Right. Yeah.
Rome was mighty. Now we laugh at the Italians.
Yeah.
Babylon ruled the world. Now there's not even anything there.
Right.
Just a bunch of expired buildings that are condemned. See, our faith needs to see beyond the physical.
Yeah, amen.
And look at the Almighty who works in the Spirit.
Yeah, amen.
See, faith's vision looks past the visible world. Listen to 1 Corinthians 2, what Paul says. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. You know, if faith is real in your life, it ought to cause you to act. What do you mean? Act through the invisible God beyond the physical things we see.
Right.
Sad to say, our sight deceives us. We are especially a visual society more than ever before. Because of, you know, all the stuff we have, the TV and the internet, and everything. We're so visual. But it deceives us. We don't see the truth. When Gideon took on the 135,000 Midianites and looked behind him, he had 300. And he said, "Let's go get them." Why? Because he'd grown in his faith to trust the invisible God no matter what he saw before him. The Bible says he looked around and they looked like a valley of grasshoppers, all those Midianites. But see, he saw, he had a supermajority because he had God.
Yeah.
Now what do you see when you see the things around this world? What do you see? Let's put it this way. When things started happening, my vision started fixed, thinking about the Lord and our mission works. They suffered. And I thought, man, this is a spiritual attack. We don't see the battles raging. I don't have time to get into it, but Daniel 10 is a great passage to describe to us about how the devil and his demons get into places of power.
Yeah.
And he's working with it. Let me say, I think we got a lot of senators and congressmen that are demon possessed.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. But listen to me, God is greater.
Amen.
And he's going to get the victory through this thing one way or another. But we need to see the spiritual part of what's going on here. What are you most concerned about when you look at your children? Their career? Or what are they going to do for God?
That's good.
How do you plan your future? Well, I'm concerned how it's going to affect my livelihood, especially with all this pandemic. Or do you look at it as opportunities that you can serve the Lord in a greater fashion?
Yeah.
Remember, the invisible God controls the visible. Alexander McLaren said this long ago. He said, "One use of the tube of the telescope is to shut out cross lights and concentrate the vision on the far-off object looked at undisturbed." Bought a set of binoculars here. Not very good ones. Now, if I look that way, it's even weirder. But you look this way, and it, you know, when I'm doing that, I can focus on the back door there. And I don't see anything else. If we would focus on the Lord, we wouldn't let all these other things disturb us.
That's right.
If we get our eyes fixed on the real light, then he could do something with us in Faith Promise Missions.
Yeah, amen.
We wouldn't be concerned about, "Well, I don't know what's going to happen with my job this year." Well, who's in charge?
Yep.
See? See, we need to have faith to trust in the miraculous God. Verse 28. "Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians, assaying to do, were drowned." See, these folk, Moses and the Israelites, they acted by faith in what had not happened. Through faith, he kept the Passover, the picture of what was going to happen in the future of Jesus dying on the cross.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying here? For Moses, when he left Egypt the first time, he never had a comfort zone again.
Right.
Maybe that's what we need. So many of us are afraid to step out of our comfort zone. Well, I said in an earlier message, I love missions conferences. They're my favorite conference. But also, a lot of times they're the least attended.
Wow.
You know why? Because people know it's about money. And I'm afraid what God's going to speak to me. You ought to be excited that God does speak to you.
Yeah,
He even takes time for you. And you know, is He a God of miracles or what? We think of all the details of the Passover, and they took much time and effort. But they did it because they believed God would act as He said. And God delivered them. But they acted by faith in what was against the rules of nature. I love picturing, trying to put myself in the environment of the Bible, what was going on. Moses said, "Stand still, see the salvation of God," and the waters pull up on each side. Wind starts blowing this. And Moses says, "Come on, let's go." Now, you're one of the Israelites. You're going, "Oh, yeah?" And so you step in, and it is dry. And you begin to walk. And now, I've always wondered if some of them bumped into the sides there because there's a big crowd trying to get through. They might have, "Ooh, it's wet over there. I'm staying here." But, you know, going down and saying, "Wow. You're saying this is a crazy, amazing thing." But in each step, as they made the first step, then the second step became easier and easier and easier. "Hey, this is great stuff. They're going right down the way." And then they saw the Egyptians try to do it, but they wouldn't do it by faith.
Yeah,
and they all drowned.
Yeah.
You know, if you're ever going to have any experiences with God like they had experiences with God, you got to be willing to step out in faith.
There you go. There it is.
I like that old song. "With all the many miracles, why do you think it's possible? With all the many things we've seen, why do you think it's just a dream? With all the things He's done for us, don't you think it's time we trust? Remember what is possible with all the many miracles." Is God in the miracle business or not? So, well, that was in the Bible days. If you're saying that, that's because you've not stepped out in faith.
There you go.
If you step out in faith, you'll see the miracles of God in your life.
Amen.
The old writer John Brown said this. I like this. "He who has divided the waters can keep them divided." If you step out and trust God, He can take care of it. When the surprise attack on Pearl Harbor took place, America was shaken out of its comfort zone with a world war. America was doing fine, though England was on the brink of annihilation. And then Pearl Harbor happened. People here didn't see any urgency for war until it hit home personally. And I'm hoping God will hit home to you personally this week. A lot have been talked about faith, and your pastor, Brother Reasoner, God's going to stretch you this week. But remember, the one that is sovereign control of all, He can do great things if you'll let Him stretch you.
Amen.
Faith Promise Missions gets you out of your comfort zone. And if you're going to be all in, then you're going to have to see God. You're going to have to allow God to stretch you. I have a man in my church who was 30 years LAPD. 22 years he was undercover narc. So he saw a lot of crazy things. But he came to our church. He's been retired now, probably 20 years ago. And Ray... good man. He and his wife are a sweet couple. But he came and he'd never been at a Faith Promise Missions conference before. See, not every independent Baptist church does Faith Promise Missions. I'll talk more about that later. You ought to be thankful you do. I started when I was in the fourth grade in Faith Promise Missions. It wasn't given much. I had a dime allowance every week, and I think I gave a dime. I can't remember. But anyway, Ray is saying he came and... he thought, "This is a pretty good thing." And he said, "This preacher, you know, that it's just a few weeks ago he was telling me about this. That's, Lord is preparing maybe for this conference." And he was just testifying what God's done in his life. And he said, so that first year we started with 25 a month. And he says, understand, I'm a fixed income. He's retired, you know. And he said, every year, he said, I'd come back and this preacher's trying to stretch me again. And he said, he's trying to get more out of me, you know. And so the Lord would speak and then he'd give. And there's all kinds of things that happened in his life. I remember he lives out in the country on this lake, real nice house. On Bitterroot Lake, but he didn't know the house, the septic was not, it was set up for a summer home, not for year round when he came and lived in it, and so the septic was not working. And so he went back to the realtor, and after he'd been given the faith promise, God sent him $18,000 to take care of it. He said, so every year he kept stretching, and he says, preacher, now we're, he says, I'm on a fixed income, and he says, we're giving $800 a month now. And he says, I've never lived as good as I live. He said, God just keeps providing.
Amen.
Because that's those step of faith through that wall of water.
Right.
And as they make more steps, you'll find it's easier. It's better. And some of you are probably scared. Some of you are scared now and say, well, I don't know what God's going to speak to me about. I don't know if I can do that. Is God good? Does God not promise that you put me to the test and I'll open the windows of heaven?
Yeah.
And let me say, missions is where God's heart is. And he can't wait to bless you. It's just an act of helping you grow in faith this week. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Lord, thank you for the word.